say Shy City.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, it's Lance Zierlein and Del Olele today, and Tyler is in as our producer and commentator. We've got Eric Layden's going to be in studio with us at 8:30, but joining us right now is director of the Senior Bowl. He was an NFL personnel man and is a commentator on ESPN as well for the NFL draft, and it's Jim Nagy. Jim, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Yeah, Lance and Del, thanks for having me on.
So there's a lot. So Del's a big college football fan. Of course, you know, I do draft stuff and whatnot. And, you know, you can't be like the combination of college football into the NFL is where you converge with the NFL draft. And the place that's a jump off point, in my opinion, is the Senior Bowl. That, to me, is when, quote unquote, draft season starts, is really kind of the Senior Bowl moving forward. Now, you know, this is strange times for all of us with the pandemic. Everything is basketball's being played on a neutral site with virtual fans. You've got baseball with virtual, with cutout cardboard fans in a 60-game season. And the NFL, I haven't even seen one Texans practice because I'm not allowed to go out there. We can't even see it. So there's no preseason games. It's a different kind of year. I'm curious as to what is going on. I've got a lot of questions for you, but let's start with the Senior Bowl. So what are you doing this year? We've got two conferences not even playing football until the spring, supposedly. What's happening to the Senior Bowl? What are your plans right now?
Yeah, Lance, we could do this for a couple hours. Had a call last week, really good informative call with all 32 teams in the league. I think there were 70 guys on the call, you know, GMs, director-level guys, just to kind of – first thing I wanted to tell them is that we're willing to do – what we need to do to accommodate them and have a good week in what's definitely a different year. So if that means moving our game in alignment to the draft calendar, so if the draft kicks back, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, which they could do back to June 2nd, I think is the latest possible date, we would be open to moving our date, kind of stay in line with that. And also, I think, expanding our week. I think we've got to really look long and hard at that option. Just because for the, you know, for the Big Ten, Pac-12 guys, and then MAC and Mountain West and, you know, FCS level guys. I mean, if you haven't put the pads on for 12 to 15 months, some of these guys that have been injured, that, you know, that all missed all of last year because of an injury, some cases over 2 calendar years now putting on pads, you know, we got to give them an opportunity to put their best foot forward. So, you know, we think talk about extending out to a couple weeks. They could come to Mobile, condition for 3 or 4 days on the field, do a lot of combine-type position-specific drills, then go in uppers for, you know, shells and for probably 3 or 4 days, and then full pads for 3 or 4 days. So that would allow those guys to shake off the rust and, again, show their best stuff on the field for these teams because, as you know, Lance, I mean, theoretically, all these guys should have gotten better in the last year, bigger, faster, stronger, right. Put in a lot of time in the weight room. So, you know, we just feel like our game might be the only opportunity for these guys to show what all that hard work looks like on a football field.
I think there's always going to be questions about, theoretically, it's called the Senior Bowl, but everyone wants a place where they can watch, you know, underclassmen who want to potentially compete against other players in practices and things like that. Has there ever been talk during this pandemic conversation? Because no doubt you've had so many different contingency plans that you've thrown out there and will continue to have others, obviously. Has there ever been a talk about allowing those guys from the Big Ten and Pac-12 into that particular circumstance and saying, hey, you know, come on in, Walker Little, or come on in, you know, Rashad Bateman, or come on in, Rondale Moore? Has there ever been talk about that?
Well, a couple of those guys you mentioned are eligible to play in the game because they're going to have their diploma in December. So,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, that was a great rule. You know, 6 or 7 years ago, when Phil Savage was running the game, you know, the league passed a rule where if you're a junior or a redshirt sophomore, and you've gotten your diploma by December before our game, you can play in an all-star game. So we've really taken advantage of that. That was a huge focus when I got here a couple years ago. I think the previous high we'd ever had in the game was 4 in 1 year, and then we've had 23 over the last 2 years. So it's really helped beef up our roster. So we do a lot of legwork over the spring and summer and through the fall trying to identify those guys, you know, through our friends in the league and through schools. And right now the schools are really being gracious by letting us jump on all these Zoom calls they're doing with the NFL team. So we're getting a lot of that information right now where guys are, you know, in terms of on track for their graduation. But, yeah, Lance, it would be great if we could bring, you know, all the underclassmen, but I just don't think we'll ever get to that point because, again, I think playing in an all-star game, you know, serves as a incentive for a kid to leave early. Like if that, you know, if they were all able to just, you know, come to the Senior Bowl and show themselves in front of 900 NFL decision makers and scouts, I think you'd have even more guys jumping ship than there already are. And the NFL is probably has no interest in upsetting the relationships with the colleges. So I don't think we'll ever get to the point where all underclassmen will be allowed to play in our game.
The NCAA is moving towards a rule where no matter how many games you participate in this fall or spring, depending on when your season gets off, that you won't lose a year of eligibility, which would mean a senior could have two senior seasons if he so chooses to come back. How much would that change the scouting perspective if you know that a guy, let's say a mid-tier quarterback prospect, can get a second senior season? And do you expect players to take advantage of that?
Yeah, there's going to have to be some sort of opt-in, you know, option where you're basically declaring that you're opting into that extra year, I would guess. I mean, you can't start playing spring ball in the NFL and not know if you're part of that draft process or not. So, yeah, I think it's going to come down to each individual case. I think it's always beneficial. You use the example of a quarterback. I mean, for those guys to get more experience and get more reps, because unless you're going to get on the field right away, unless you're a first round guy, or you find yourself like Gardner Minshew, where you're in a situation where you play right away, you know, it's tough. You sit. I mean, it's the league is not set up to be a developmental league for quarterbacks right now. So, I do think a lot of these quarterbacks are going to have to make a tough decision on whether to enter the draft this year or come back and take advantage of that extra year of eligibility. But I think that goes for all players, and I think the hard part, moving forward is getting these players the right information so they can make an educated decision on where they're at with the NFL teams. And it's easy at some schools to do. It's easy if you're at Alabama and you can walk down the hall and knock on Coach Saban's door and he can, you know, ring four or five guys in the league that he trusts and get your players good evaluations. But it's not that way at every school. So I really think the biggest thing moving forward for college football players this year is doing whatever they can do to get a handle on where they sit in the NFL's eyes, not Twitter, not the internet, not agents, but what the NFL really thinks of them.
Yeah, and the NFL is going to have to be more open than ever in terms of, you know, they never like to encourage players to come out early. The NFL is always very careful. Me, on the NFL side, for me, for NFL Network and NFL.com, I'm not really allowed to comment on a player's an underclassman's round projections. We don't even do mock drafts until after the final declaration day in January. So the NFL, you know, their own website, NFL.com, we are told we don't want to do anything to push players out early because of the relationship that the NFL has with college football. But this is going to have to be a little different year because you want these guys to get good information. You know, it's going to be challenging for NFL teams who have first-round picks. We don't know anything about that in Houston because Houston never has a first-round pick in any sport. But when I watched, I already wrote up. I'm already done with my draft eval on Gregory Russo from Miami, on Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech. Russo, for those who don't know, this is a guy who was a high school wide receiver, I guess, who is a one-year defensive end who had 15 sacks and like 19 tackles for loss. But he played, and that sounds great, but a lot of it came as a nose when they reduced him down, and he's not. He's a defensive end. I don't have any other tape to use other than 19. So this is going to be extraordinarily challenging. He's played the position 1 year on tape. The Virginia Tech cornerback has played it 2 years on tape, but he was a high school quarterback. So some of the things that I see, Jim, that are problems are typically going to be that year two and year three is so important to development and growth. And we don't have that. We don't have it for Rondale Moore. who was hurt last year in, you know, after, in the fourth or fifth week of his season. This is just looking at some of these guys and what I have to work with. Walker Little from Stanford, through no fault of his own, I mean, he's in the Pac-12. I've got to go back to 2018 tape, and he's a top 10, top 12 projection.
Yeah, Lance, it's going to force a lot of projection in these players. And again, if you work in an NFL scouting department, projection is sometimes can be a bad word. You're trying to eliminate as much of the projection element as you can. It's just, it is what it is this year, right? I mean, it does. It makes it very difficult. So the on-field evaluation has its challenges, but also, Lance, without these scouts being on the road all fall and on campus, I mean, that's a whole different level of challenge. So that's why I know a lot of teams. That's why, you know, Seattle was probably comfortable trading away a couple first-round picks for Jamal Adams in a year like this, because I just can speak on my experience where you're scouting in the NFL. Like, the players I missed on and the teams that I was with that, you know, our draft picks that we missed on, when you go back and look at it, I mean, we most of the time, we miss more on the person than the player. I mean, the longer you scout, the easier watching the tape is and figuring out if a guy's an NFL, going to be an NFL guy or not. But the hardest part is figuring out the person and what makes him tick, and is he ready to be a pro, and all those things. So what's he going to do with more money and time on his hands? So that's why guys usually miss. It's not really the talent part of it. So that's the challenge now too. They're on these Zoom calls, which I mentioned, where, you know, our staff here at the Senior Bowl has been on these Zoom calls, and schools are great for setting them up, but really it's really vanilla information. It's not like you're on campus. It's not you walking down the hallway where the coaches are and shutting the door behind you and, you know, sitting down with the running backs coach and really, you know, getting the nitty gritty on a player, and that's the stuff that helps you, you know, get conviction on a player, is when you really feel like you know him. And that's, teams are going to be really behind when it comes to just the information gathering on these players when it comes to this draft.
Jim, you're talking about that particular aspect of it, but what about the Senior Bowl and when it will take place? You talked about possibly extending the week, or maybe making it a 2-week type of experience scheduled for January 30th of 2021. Is that a date that can be moved depending on how college football operates, or really how the pandemic goes, or is that not something that will be moved?
It's going to be moved based on the draft calendar. It's going to have nothing to do with what happens in the spring. And again, I'll say this, prior to last week, prior to the Big Ten getting shut down, every coach that I spoke to, from, you know, guys in the SWAC all the way up to, you know, the MAC level in other leagues, at the FBS level, I mean, the talk of spring ball, the coaches just like rolled their eyes when you brought it up to them. I mean, nobody thought they were playing in the spring. It was basically being floated out there to appease people for right now. But for the coaches, all felt like, you know what, we're playing in the fall of 2021. Now that changed a little bit last week because you look at the Big Ten coaches that got behind that initiative, and that, you know, powerful men like Jim Harbaugh and Ryan Day and Scott Frost. I mean, so the Big Ten thing has a little bit of life to it right now. I still think it has a ton of challenges. So, no, that's not going to affect what our game does in the spring. What's going to affect our game is what the league does with the draft.
So unless the league, Jim, by the way, it's Jim Nagy here, is the director of the Senior Bowl. He's a scout with the Seattle Seahawks. Jim, when you say that about the league draft schedule, if the NFL says we're not moving our draft date, then the combine is going to stay. I don't see how that's even possible. They would almost have to have a second combine, because you and I both know you got to have the medicals, you got to have the psych evaluations, everything that is non. You can get the physical stuff at a workout, you know, on campus, but the medicals and the psych evaluations and the face-to-face stuff that happens at the combine, that's just, you have to have those things. And if there are conferences playing football in the spring, that's just not available. I would think seniors who think that their combine, you know, a potential combine invite, they wouldn't want to play spring football if the league doesn't move the February date.
Yeah, that's right, Lance. And I think that, bring up Coach Saban's name again, I think he hit the nail on the head last week. It's going to be, if they do play something in the spring, I think it's going to be a very watered down product. Coach Saban used the term, it's going to look like you're going to be fielding a JV team. And I believe that's the case. I mean, I think that if you're a legitimate draftable prospect, I think they invite close to 400 guys to the combine. So there's about 140, 150 guys that go to the combine that don't get invited. So again, that gets back to, you know, you really have to get some good information on where you sit if you're a player. But again, I think if guys are even, you know, day three picks, they're going to want to enter the draft process, right? So yeah, they're not going to be playing a spring season, then be able to jump over to Indy and do the combine thing. So that's going to be, to me, that's the most difficult part. And I haven't touched base with Jeff Foster, who runs the combine in Indy right now. I've tried to connect with him a couple times this week, and we just haven't been able to connect. We've got flexibility in our Mobile to move our date. I wonder if Jeff has any flexibility in Indy, because it's such a big convention town, and that convention center, I can't imagine that thing's not booked out probably years in advance. So I don't know how much wiggle room Jeff would have to move the combine. And again, we always need to keep that window between our game and the combine, because the agents all want their players to leave Mobile and have, you know, three or four weeks to train before going to the combine. So we'll probably have to stay in line with what the combine does. But if Jeff has the flexibility to move his event back, then we'd probably do the same thing. And again, I think that might be critical in terms of buying us time if there is a vaccine that comes out later this fall, which is, you know, the hope. And, you know, some people are optimistic on that. So I think it would just buy us some critical time.
That's Jim Nagy with the Senior Bowl. Jim, thanks for joining us today. You can also check Jim out on Twitter at Jim Nagy, N-A-G-Y underscore S-B. A lot of great, not just Senior Bowl stuff, a lot of great football evaluation and just good commentary on there as well. And, of course, he shows up on ESPN talking some college football, NFL draft, whatever the case may be. Jim, thanks. It's great. He's a great follow on Twitter as well. Jim, thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Yeah, fellas. Thanks for having me on. Stay safe.